Welcome to Step Into the Story. Incredible conversations of how the Bible changes lives, changes families, and changes communities across the globe. And here's your host, Phil Tuttle of Walk Through the Bible.
Well, welcome to Step Into the Story. Each time we get together, I get to sit down with a person and we explore the intersection of their story and God's story. And when we first launched this podcast a while back now, when I sat down and made a list of guests I would love to have, at or near the top of that list was today's guest, Bob Goff. And finally, this is the day. Hey, Bob, welcome to Step Into the Story. Thanks for doing this with me.
Oh, you kidding me? This is fun. Good to see you. Yeah, it's been a little
good
bit.
Good to see you. It's been too long. You know, if I don't know if you probably do not read your Wikipedia page. I started laughing. There is a list of who is Bob Goff, your author, you know, best-selling author, speaker. You're an attorney. You're an advocate. You're an adjunct professor at Pepperdine. In your spare time, you're a great husband for sweet Maria. You're a father. Your Dream Big podcast is one of my favorites. And all of those things are accurate. But I think the title that you embraced and gave yourself needs some explanation. You often describe yourself as chief balloon inflator. What in the world is a chief balloon inflator? What is even an assistant balloon inflator? But you as the chief balloon inflator, how'd you come up with that self-description?
Yeah, I think it's not being self-effacing, but I think God takes all of our accomplishments and diplomas and accolades and all that and makes confetti out of them to celebrate the poor and the needy and the people that are hurting. And so I want to help people blow up their ideas, whatever that means, to make some things are meant to stay small. Some things are meant to get big. So you can scale them however you want. And it's not about, you know, motivational talks and all that, but to connect what is God has put inside of you with an opportunity that's adjacent to you. To say there's something that you have all kinds of ambitions. I've got everything on my ambition list. It'd be easier to make a list of the things I don't want to do than the things I do want to do, because it pretty much is everything. But there aren't always opportunities. But where an ambition and an opportunity meet, man, that's where some really cool things. And if faith guides your steps and you're listening to this, then that is where oftentimes Jesus will meet you, where an opportunity and ambition are. You just got to get your head on a swivel. It's the beginning of the book of Acts. It's Acts 1:1, Theophilus, means lover of God. Look for many convincing proofs that Jesus is still alive. And so as a man of faith, I've just always got my head on a swivel to say, wow, would this be possible? Could this happen? Would that happen? And that feels like it's just blowing up balloons.
Okay, that makes sense now. I thought it was along those lines, but you described it better than I could ever put into words. You are without a doubt, Bob, my favorite contemporary storyteller.
Thank you.
You didn't bump Jesus. Those parables are still pretty hard to beat. But
there's 37 miracles in there too.
That's right. I love to hear you tell a story. And for many of our listeners, they first met you through your first book, Love Does. But as I've talked to people who are going to be following along on this podcast, a lot of them miss that. And there is probably my favorite Bob and Maria story, aside from you pursuing her and winning her heart. That one's on the top of the list. But the amazing global adventure that you two and your kids took on. Can you tell our listeners that story to get us started today?
Oh, yeah, you bet. It was right after 9/11. And I remember having the conversation. If you guys are old enough, maybe somebody had it with you or you had it with some people that you made. But we had to explain to our kids this awful thing that had happened. And I asked them, if you had 5 minutes in front of a world leader, what would you say to them? If you were in front of Pharaoh back in the day, like, what would you say to make sense of your your hopes and your faith and your curiosity? And so Adam was the first one to go. And he said, it'd be super simple. I just asked him if they wanted to come over for a sleepover. So I had Adam write that down. And Richard
How old was
said,
Adam at that
I bet he
time?
was like seven at the time.
Oh, that
So
sounds like a
you can do
7-year-old.
the, yeah, you can do the math now. He's Adam's now 32. So 32 minus World Trade Center. So Richard was the next one. He's about 2 years older. And he said, I would ask them, what are you hoping for? And that sounds like a really legit question. It's Philippians 2:20, and you don't need a Bible verse for everything, but it's a great guiding principle to take a genuine interest in other people's welfare. So what are you hoping for would be a great question. And Lindsay was about 11. She was our precocious one. And she said, I would say, if you can't make it over for the sleepover, could we come over to your house and ask you what you're hoping for?
Wow.
I will bring a video camera. And back in the time, they were have those super whatever tapes, the little ones you put in there. It was like all before all the digital stuff. And so we downloaded the CIA website. We got the name of every leader in the whole world. We felt like we were hacking NORAD, but we got the leaders' names. And then the kids wrote to all, I think there was 198 sovereign countries at the time and a couple of protectorates. And we wrote to every dictator, president, king, queen there. And the kids, we got a post office box because we didn't want Ahmadinejad to know where we lived. And then the kids, after school every day, we'd go to the post office and check out to see if we got these letters. And we started getting these letters from all these countries. And the kids would ask me, where's that? I'm like, I don't know, West. Like, so there was something really beautiful. Each of these letters, they would either say a polite no, like Tony Blair at the time. He said, jolly good show. And he signed a picture of himself or something and said, I can't meet you, but jolly good show. And the kids thought that was great. But then the president of Israel wrote back and he said, if you'll come to Jerusalem, I'll meet you. And then the secretary of state for Switzerland wrote back. Then the prime minister of another country and the dictator of another country. And I think they got 25 yeses. So we pulled them out of school and we just went. And their teachers had a cow, but I'm like, sue me. Like, there's something beautiful about just getting out. And at the time, British Airways, every time they opened up a new leg to a country they weren't flying to, they would offer $50 tickets. And so we were be buying those like pork belly futures because we were
Oh,
broke.
man.
But we had these little kids. We were just trying to keep them mostly fed and clothed. But we got these cheap tickets. We'd get to London, and you can get anywhere for a couple hundred bucks from London. So that's what we did. And it was just so beautiful to see these leaders of these countries. They wouldn't want to meet with me, but to meet with these kids. And we got them little blue blazers, and they would ask their questions. They had them printed out on 3x5 cards. And it was so beautiful, even now, thinking back about like what would happen. Maybe if you're hearing this, you resonate, you've got a kid or a grandkid or a friend down the street, encourage them to write the letter and see, you're going to hear back from some really neat people.
That's amazing. And I know, I remember you saying the kids gave a gift to each world leader
Yes.
as they were leaving. Talk about that a second,
Yeah,
because
what do
that's
you
really.
bring to somebody in Saudi Arabia? Because the chocolates would melt. So we brought the key to our front door. And now, all these years later, we've had a couple of these friends, new friends, over to the house when they've come through America for one reason or another. And what's crazy is it'll be a decade or two later, and they always kept their key. And they'll put it in the front door to see if it works. And then they're so blown away when it works. There's something about that. To just, if I came over to your house, I wouldn't show up empty-handed. I'd have a loaf of bread, a Beatles album, I'd have something. And so, not to arrive in our conversations, not to arrive in our relationships, not to arrive with new or old friends empty-handed. And so, that whole idea. It sounds whimsical, but I would redefine it as a strategic whimsy. It's like you know why you're doing what you're doing. And I would say we've had, I don't know, maybe 20 people from different countries that have been to our, we've got a place in Canada. Some of these folks are not welcome in the United States for a host of reasons, but we can get them. I'm still the consul general for Uganda, so I can get them a visa into Canada. And they'll come and they'll talk. Before everybody leaves our house, if we've broken bread together, kind of like Acts 2 and 4, we break bread. They had things in common. We'll have everybody climb underneath the table and sign their name. And so we have a really neat list of characters that have been over to the house signing their name under the table.
Wow. So prior to writing Love Does, you launched Restore International, which now operates as Love Does. And a lot of people who just read one of your books, I still remember you and I were together on one of the wind-shaped Chick-fil-A
Yeah, we were.
cruises. And I still remember you and Maria playing catch with a baseball up on the top deck. I still
I
am.
still got that ball in a couple minutes.
That's pretty amazing that you still have the ball, considering where that ball could have ended up. But that was really the first time that we got to hang out in any meaningful way. And you know, I knew gifted writer, great speaker. We've had you at our major donor conference and stuff. But what I didn't know was the way that you've leveraged the platform that God has entrusted to you, the resources that came from the book royalties. And all of that's led to some big advocacy, education, also human rights initiatives. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think a lot of people view you as, yeah, Chief Balloon Inflator, but you know, he's just a cheerleader. There's not a lot of depth there. And I find myself arguing to people, I'm like, you just don't know him. But take, and this is not puffing you up at all, but talk about God has directed you to some really hard places to make a major difference in people's lives. Give me a couple of examples of that, will you, please?
Well, first of all, I think people have nailed it. Like, I'm not that big of a deal at all. But there's some people that I've met in these various countries that actually are a really big deal. And it's not because of their title, it's because of their courage, it's because of their character. And so I felt like I've been a curator of awesome people. I've found them in so many different countries that have been either in civil wars or a post-civil war country. So, like a post-civil war country would be like the nation of Uganda. So, a 25, 30-year civil war, 40,000 children abducted. And yet, we found some really courageous Ugandans that wanted to make a difference. Some of them were in the judiciary from the chief justice on down. Others, some of them were in the executive branch, others, the legislative branch, others were just people living in villages. And so we started when I wrote Love Does, we made a deal with a publisher. I would trade them one book for one school. So they would build a school if I would write the book. And they said, all right, well, tell me about the school. And I said, all right, 100 teachers and 1,000 students. And they said, big school. I said, big book. And so I made him pay me in advance because I didn't know if it'd be any good. And we told, I bet there was 400,000 kids that were out of school because of the Civil War. And we told them, we're going to open a school. You can come for free and just show up. And on opening day, 9 kids showed up.
Wow.
I think 8 of them didn't want to be there. But I wasn't bummed. I was like, we got a school, we got a soccer team. And that 9, because of the courage of these Ugandan leaders and friends that we made along the way, turned into 19 and 119 and 1,019. There are 1,800 kids at that school right now, living on campus in 80 buildings. And it's all because a bunch of really courageous people, both on the Ugandan side and on the US side, decided, let's go build something big. We won't make it about us, but let's just build something really beautiful. And so that has now led to what we're starting next is a university of all things. I couldn't spell university on a dare. But the whole idea is to take these kids from diapers to doctorate. And I think the thing that the cheerleader in me wants to cheer on these generations that wouldn't have an opportunity to go to a school. They live in a hut in northern Uganda. And then bring a little bit of that whimsy too. We decided not just a university that we would have a zoo. And it turns out you're not supposed to call it a zoo, it's a habitat. I'm like, whatever. And we were trying to figure out animals to get for our habitat that didn't bite people would be hard to lose.
That
And
would be
so
good.
we got giraffes. So we're literally building the habitat with 15-foot fences around it. So kids in huts in northern Uganda that will never go on a safari could come to the zoo. And at the university, we'll have a zoology major. We'll train up all the people that work and protect the animals that are in Uganda and Kenya and all that. So I just think sometimes you just need somebody that's going to light the fuse. So I think I got a little pyrotechnic in me, and I just want to light fuses and then give these things to really courageous people, smarter than me, more imaginative. But somebody's got to start it. And I like being part of that caper that starts it. And it isn't all me by any means, but I love being part of the group of people that want to make stuff happen.
Well, we'll get back to my conversation with Bob Goff in just a minute. I don't know if you notice or not, but in this episode, several times Bob is going to use the word courageous. And we just launched a new series at Walk Through the Bible. It's the newest installment in our biblical character series called Courageous, Choosing Faith When You Want to Give Up. And I don't know about you, but I felt like quitting before, quitting on my marriage, quitting on my kids, wanting to walk away from this job and other ones, not just quitting on church, but maybe even on God himself. And there are characters in scripture who fought that exact battle. Maybe the clearest of these is Elijah, the Old Testament prophet. And in this study, we'll discover how just like us, Elijah, through God's power and leading, he did some mighty things. The duel on the mountain against the false prophets, providing a poor widow and her son, prophesying a drought and more. But he also had some really low moments, and we explore all of it. The Bible is so authentic, it plays all the keys on the keyboard, and I think you'll find yourself in this series. It's called Courageous, Choosing Faith When You Want to Give Up, and you can find it on our website. Just go to walkthrough.org/courageous. And now, speaking of courageous, let's get back to the conversation with one courageous individual, Mr. Bob Goff. As I read scripture, I see God definitely being a friend of the underdog. And, you know, when we look at the different places where you've done work, places like Afghanistan and India and Congo and Nepal and other places. And specifically, I mean, even with inmates that a lot of people have just written off and said, hey, to invest anything there would be a bad investment. And I mean, just friend to friend, thank you for, even as all the fame came, for keeping it simple and keeping your heart aligned with God, because you are a friend of the underdog wherever they are found, and don't ever lose that, Bob.
I think people don't see me as much as they see in some of these adventures. They see a reflection of themselves, right? Because sometimes
Sure.
when we make loving people a whole lot more difficult than it really is, and it's challenging. And I'm not a lovely guy. Like, I think I'm more lovely than I really am, but I'm actually kind of prickly from time to time. But yet I've surrounded myself with kind enough people that they can see beyond my many deficits, and they can see the beauty of creating something. And there's a guy named Diogenes, and he was the founder of Cynicism. And the Diogenes, if you ever see a painting about him, you'll see him in a gigantic water barrel, because that's where he lived. And they'll always see in that painting a lamp. And Diogenes used to walk through Athens at high noon every day with a lamp lit, and he held it high. And people would say, Diogenes, what are you doing? It's like high noon. And he said, I'm looking for virtue. And so I
Wow.
think I want to be among the people that are looking for virtue, whatever people's faith expression or experience has been. Some people have been kind of beat up by faith. Some people are very encouraged by faith. Like, but whatever that is, I hope we could hold up a lamp And just look for virtue. And it's actually kind of hard because, all of us are walking with a limp. We're in many respects not virtuous. But this whole idea of faith is that Jesus is. And so I want to continue to press into that. And I'm not trying to talk people into or out of faith. I don't think we lead people to Jesus. I think Jesus leads people to Jesus. And
Yeah.
so what we do is our job is as best we can, as fallible as we are, to love people. So I'm just trying to curate those things now in 14 countries, with lots of projects in every country to see things happening in Mazar El Sharif in Afghanistan, in the Dominican, and in each one of these things, the one common thread is I find courageous people that want to make a difference for a country that they love. This is Acts 4. It say they saw Peter and John. They knew they were just unschooled, ordinary people, but they saw their courage and they knew they'd been with Jesus. And so I want us to find that courageous key. There's some people I've been running across, maybe a little bit more frequently, more recently. They're just cynical, but they're not old school cynics. They're not like Diogenes looking for virtue. They're just trying to pick a fight with everybody. And it's just wearing me out. I'm like, oh, I want to get some other stuff back in the air system because I have never met a courageous cynic. I've never met one. I've met some cynics, and each of them, to the last person, is not courageous. They're sniping at people instead of getting busy doing something that's positive and contributing. And so I would say if you are listening to this and you can resonate with some of that, instead of trying to fix other people or try to modify their behaviors, just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that you need to stay humble because you're a mess up like me. You've got deficiencies. And yet, let's just keep our eyes fixed on that instead of sniping at other people. I love it in elementary school, they say, keep your eyes on your own paper.
Right.
That works pretty good.
Well, and it's easy to be so annoyed with people like that. And I think Stephen Ministries probably popularized a statement. But they said behind every fault is a need. And you take the most cynical person that you know or the most negative person, and it's like we'll call them toxic, whatever, and it's easy to just want to go unfriend, unfriend, unfriend. I can't handle this in my life. But to realize that behind that it is a real need. And there is a Jesus-sized hole in that man or woman or boy or girl's life. And it's not by persuasion or, I mean, you're an attorney, but it's not by flawlessly painting somebody in a corner with logic that lives are changed. It really is presenting Jesus as he really is, and he's compelling. And he says, if I'm lifted up, I will draw people to myself. So
Yeah,
you're.
I like that you're giving people the benefit of the doubt too. It means at a really practical level, just add a beat or two before you go on the offensive or defensive, to just add a beat. I was literally yesterday with 700 people at a gathering on the East Coast, somebody came up to me and they said, "Hey, I don't think your lid's on right." And I was thinking, I don't know, my hat or my theology, my whatever. And I was holding coffee and but the lid on the coffee wasn't on right. And she was just trying to help me not spill coffee in my lap because it'd be embarrassing. And so I'm so glad I built in that beat or two to just say, oh, my lid on the coffee. And it was just such a helpful thing. She was just trying to help me out. But what a shame if I'd taken offense to that. Say, what
Right.
do you mean, my lid? Your lid's not on right. And but she was just trying to be nice. And I'm thinking, man, that's a person that takes a genuine interest in other people's welfare. I'm going to remember her. Oh, I spoke at another thing, and a person came up to me and they said, are you a friend of Bill W's? And I was thinking of all the guys I know that are named Bill, and I kind of went through this Rolodex in my mind, and there's Bill Loki, and there's Bill. And then I couldn't come up with it. And 3 days later, I figured out she had heard me say something that made her think I'm in recovery. And Bill W is the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so rather than putting me on the spot, she just said, Are you a friend of Bill W's? And I tracked that girl down and I told her that was the kindest thing that I'd seen demonstrated all week. That rather than putting me on the spot, she knew if she said Bill W, if I was in recovery, I would know exactly who that was. And I want to be that kind of friend to people. I want to add in a beat or two. So the person that says my lid's not all right, or somebody asks if I'm a friend of Bill W's, I'm thinking, man, I bet they think of something really generous has just been said instead of something sinister. And I think in our air supply, somehow we got in mind that if you do this, that that's somehow sinister, or that, everything is toxic this or narcissist that or whatever. And indeed, some of those things happen. But I want my first thought to be, is there something really beautiful that they're offering me right now, even a word of correction, maybe something I could do a better job at. And Lord knows, like, there's a lot of areas I could improve in, but to assume that they're coming in a really generous spirit, they're trying to help me out.
Hey, I know you're on a tight schedule today, so we don't want to keep you much longer, but I do just want to commend to our listeners and viewers today, your newest book, Catching Whimsy. It's different than all the other ones. It's actually a devotional, and man, I'm really glad you didn't lead with that as your first book, because I
Oh, there you
think
go.
it people would have classified you a certain way. And the fact that you just led as a storyteller and an encourager, now you've built the foundation. And, just one conversation with you poke you and you bleed scripture. But Jesus didn't always feel the need to quote a chapter and a verse. He just was all about his Father's will. But this book to me, which is 365 days devotional, yeah, there's plenty of little short stories and their little vignettes, but there's grounding it in the scripture. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you're in any kind of rut in your relationship with God, that book is a rut buster. If you are, maybe you've never tried to interact with scripture on your own, that's something for church or your synagogue or wherever you go. I just want to commend that book, Catching Whimsy, to you. Bob, I guess probably the other great way for people, if they want to get to know you better, would be your podcast, the Dream Big podcast. Is that still going strong?
It is. I'm still having fun with that. I just like, kind of like you, just have friends on and talk about things that matter. And I would say that a lot of the focus, like as you look at Jesus and the smartest theologian ever to walk the earth, but he points to two sheep and he says it's like when one of those gets away. And everybody goes, I know exactly what that feels like. And so those reminders, the taps on the shoulder, this idea of remember is in the scriptures 8,670 times. Isn't that crazy? This like
That's
idea,
like his most
remember,
common
remember,
command.
remember.
Remember, don't forget.
Yeah. So what I want to do is tap us on the shoulder and remember when things weren't as complicated, or if they did get complicated, remember just how good God is, or maybe some of the experiences where that you've confronted before. And I really am hoping to engage somebody that would be, maybe they don't self-describe themselves this way, but they're church adjacent. So they're not maybe in the front row of the church, but they're also not that cynic sniping at the church and sniping at people, but somebody that's just adjacent. I want to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, does any of this resonate with you? And not that I'm the last word on it, but I want people to remember, like when relationships stumbled a little bit, like how there was something really beautiful when you felt like you were prevented, that on reflection, you're actually protected. And I think that those little reminders grounded in scripture, which is a departure from all the other books, because I don't put Bible verses in books because I'm writing to the guy who's church adjacent.
Beautiful. Hey, man, it's great catching up with you.
Thank you. This is
Let's
fun. The
find a way
last time
to
we
do
were shipboard, I could count on seeing you and your smiling face with your wife.
Well, let's do some stuff together in the future. Walk through the Bible. I think last year did stuff in about 140 countries, and there are
some
points of intersection that we need to explore, and even some of our tools for kids could be a great fit in your schools and all. So we have an offline conversation that needs to continue.
Yeah, but, we should do that. Yeah, I remember being one of the first things that Sweet Maria Goff and I did when I was liking her, but she wasn't liking me. We went to a walk through the Bible thing, and it was just like all the hand movements and all that was so fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yep. So anyway, let's make that happen. And thank you for doing this. And if you've been listening or watching today and you kind of heard that term church adjacent, it's possible to be in church every Sunday and be Jesus adjacent. And I hope that this has been a winsome conversation with you, whether you've been burned or hurt by a spiritual leader or betrayed by friends, that you'll just realize no matter how hard guys like Bob and I try, we represent Jesus very poorly, but please don't evaluate him based on what you see in us. And I hope this conversation has motivated you to hope again, to take a risk, to give things another chance. Maybe catching whimsy will be part of the bridge that God builds. Maybe it's another resource from Walk Through the Bible. But that's why we gather on Step Into the Story, and we explore that intersection, and it's not just about the guest's life, it's about your life. And so if there's any way we can serve you, you can email me at phil@walkthrough.org, and we'd love to just encourage you along your pilgrimage of faith. Until we get together next time, thank you very much for joining us. And Bob Goff, I've been looking forward to this for way too long, and it finally happened. So thank
Me
you, my
too.
Brother.
All right. We'll see you soon.
We'll see you again. All right. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Step Into the Story podcast, powered by Walk Through the Bible. We'd love to hear what you think by giving us a review on iTunes or Google Play. Also, don't miss a single episode by clicking the subscribe button. If you'd like more resources to help you explore and live God's Word in your daily life, visit walkthrough.org. That's walkthrough.org. Walk Through the Bible. Take a walk. Change the world.